All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all.
Thank you for coming this morning. I know it's very hot. I also know it's July, so turn to 1 Corinthians, if you will, and we will read some scripture there after we pray and expound it. Or say it'd be chapter 2 and verse 14 is where we'll start after we pray. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that you said where two or three are gathered in your name, you would be there, and we certainly welcome your presence. Thank you for being there when we were in most need, when we were lost and undone, headed to hell. And somehow, some way, you sent somebody with the good news that Jesus saves, and we capitulated and said, "Well, save me." And you did. Thank you for everyone here, all the fathers who are here, and those watching on Father's Day. And as was just mentioned, we are so thankful for our Heavenly Father, for without you, we're nothing. Help us to do thy will this day. If there be anybody here who doesn't know you as personal Savior, may they listen carefully, not to me, but that small voice that they will hear as we preach the word of God. And it's saying, please come home. And when you hear that, please do. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen. We certainly ask you to keep praying for those nice people down in Charleston who had that tragedy. People will ask me from time to time things like that. Well, what's happening and what do you think happened? And it's pretty obvious what's happening. We're reaching the end of the age. Satan knows his days are numbered. He doesn't have long to get all his work done, and he's going to double up. And he's doubling up now, and you're not going to see that to be the last of these vicious, terrible things that are happening. More coming our way. The Christian faith was started being persecuted, and it shall end that way. But the Lord is coming soon. We don't worry about it, because you can't do nothing to me when I'm gone. So we look for the Lord daily, and that is our great hope, and we don't have to worry about what we did yesterday, because that's been wiped clear. I love that when I think about it on my own now and then. And there's so many things other than the terrible slaughter in Charleston that was so terrible. The only name for it is evil. Evil, hatred is evil. Evil is another word for sin. That's all it is. And if we will just keep spreading the word of God as we do, we will get a number saved, and we will get a few in before it's too late. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:14 that the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And brethren, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual people, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I've fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to hear it or to bear it. Neither yet now are ye able. for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? So, Brother Paul is speaking to the Corinthians. Now, this is thousands of years ago. Same problem today. You see, the reason why the churches are now getting more empty and people are turning from the faith, and America is turning totally secular, and they do all they can to beat the Christians down. And the problem is and will be, if we don't stand up for what we believe, whatever we get is what we should have gotten. It's just like someone said about voting. If you don't like your congressman, senators, president, or whatever, people will get exactly what they vote for. And so you think carefully, and we don't promote different parties or whatever, especially since Fat Harold died. We don't promote any parties, do we? We promote the Word of God. So when you vote your Bible. That's what to vote. And vote for the person who sticks closely to the Scriptures. That's all you have to remember. That's all you got to do. And it'll break up this foolishness of us, we, against them, they. I mean, all that's so ridiculous anyway. So let's stick to what God says. The natural man, that is the man who is unsaved, he can't receive the things of the Spirit of God. That's why they won't come to church. They get bored and don't understand what you're talking about. Oh, we can preach here on the different things that go on, the incarnation. How in the world could one man die for the whole world? We can preach on the virgin birth. By the way, for years, the scientists have always condemned the virgin birth, as you know. College professors, seminary professors, liberal preachers, which is another word for lost preachers, who will condemn the virgin birth. Oh, that just couldn't happen. And last week, they finally found a vertebrate that could have a baby as a male, as a woman without a male. First time they found one, see? Sooner or later, science is going to catch right up to the Bible. You just wait and see. But they think because they find something, they've got something. You don't find something. God has neglected. He knows everything. It's not news. I always say there is no news for the King of the Jews. God knows everything about you and me and what we do and how everything goes. And we were preaching a homegoing yesterday. Me and Miss Trexel went out and held that homegoing, and those who came in crying left smiling, didn't they, Miss Trexel? And I'm telling you the truth, and I'm glad I got a witness. An Episcopalian laughed. I mean, anytime you can get an Episcopalian to laugh in church, inside, you got you something. You did something. I was so proud. I didn't know what to do. So the natural man can't understand those things. How is he going to understand the perfect righteousness of Christ? That one man can live as a man in this world and in the world he was in and not sin one time by deed or by thought. And boy, when you get into sins of thought, me and you trying to hide under the blanket, aren't we? Because every day we go through that, don't we? And you will continue to. Why? You have a sinful nature. When you get saved, you are saved, but you still have the Adamic nature. You're still a man. You're still a woman. And you still have those things in you, and they're going to try to eke out, and they're going to try to take over. How does a natural man, a lost man, even contemplate the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ? I mean, today he's seen millions die. in wars and famines and plagues and his history lessons and now the television, and we have seen millions die and none of them got back up. The ad, the percentage for resurrection isn't looking too good, is it? But we don't go by percentage. We go by what Jesus said. And of all the promises in the Bible, and there's hundreds, one of my favorite is 1 John 9:14 or 14:9, you'll find it. Jesus himself said, because I live, you shall live also. It's all I need to hear. The only thing I need to hear is that. Because I live, you shall live also. We spoke that at the homegoing yesterday. I said, we don't understand this. Man walking along, doing pretty good. All of a sudden, he's in the hospital. Then they call for you to hold a funeral. What happened? I saw the gentleman. He used to come to church here. And I saw him a day before he passed on. And it was obviously he was leaving here. He couldn't talk. And he was skin and bones, bless his heart. And I went in, and I said to his wife, Maxine, and I won't be long. I'm just going to say hello and a word of prayer because he's weak enough now. He doesn't need a conversation. And I said, hey, honey, how you doing? It's your preacher. And he opened most eyes and slowly turned that head, looked me dead in the eyes. And I said, you're going home. Later. We will see you later. Christians don't say goodbye. That's not in our vocabulary. We get to live forever. But you see, we have to get over this natural man thing, and we have to understand when God says something, that's the end of it. There's no argument to it. It doesn't make me mad because, you know, to get mad at a fool is double trouble. Why in the world can an atheist spend his life arguing about something he doesn't believe exists? You've got to be out of your mind to do that. I mean, talk about a waste of time. Let's argue about nothing for about an hour. No, let's don't. I've got somewhere to go. For heaven's sake, you're not going to convert anybody like that. He's a natural man. All he knows is life, death, burial, and that's the end of it. How sad. How sad it is that we walk among the dead out here. You know, about 90% of the people you pass on the street are dead. They're spiritually dead. They just hadn't had any dirt thrown on them. They'll wait, and later they'll get a little dirt, and everybody will cry and go home, and by the next Tuesday, nobody will remember their name. Y'all say, didn't we go to his funeral? Yeah, I didn't even know he was dead. Well, why do you think they held a funeral? And they don't know what to do when you come in there saying you don't have to die. That life can be forever. And there isn't a scientist in the world or a medical doctor in the world who can watch a man like I watched Jake the other day pass from here to there. And the guy in the next room was okay. He was breathing. His blood was circulating. His heart was beating. His eyes were open. He was okay. But Jake had the same stuff he had. Flesh and bones, kidneys and heart, liver and all the parts. He had blood. He had life. He had everything this guy had, except he was dead. Now, what's the difference? Nobody can tell you the difference other than he's dead. Well, thank you, doctor. Surely you didn't go to your school for 12 years to tell me somebody isn't breathing is dead. I think I could figure that out. But to tell me why, he can't figure out. We weren't made to die. Did you know that? Adam wasn't made to shed blood. Adam and Eve were made to live forever. And I'm so glad that God in his righteousness and in his intelligence made Eve. Had he let Adam do something, he'd have made a fishing buddy. All right. we are rather stupid when it gets down to the end, aren't we? How good it is to have an all-knowing God. That's what omniscient means. Now the theologians are having an argument. I think God is still learning. I do too. He's learning that you can be stupid no matter what the truth says. He knows you're going to keep looking. I mean, why beat your head against a cement wall? You're going to lose. And to start correcting the Lord God Almighty proves nothing but your insanity. There's a saying that the definition of insanity is somebody who does the same thing over and over and over and each time expects different results. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. So you don't do that. You figure out something's wrong. Generally, it's someone that's wrong, and generally, it's you. My son is acute. He's such a nice guy. He was telling us, and by the way, happy Father's Day to you. And Ann got me this shirt and another one, and I'm trading it in, not because it's ugly, it's because it's too small. I appreciate the compliment. All right, see. But I'm looking smooth because they had they ate my ice cream for Father's Day. I'd bought me some ice cream to celebrate, and they saw to it. But he said, you know, for years I thought kudzu cured cancer. And I said, why did you think that, Scott? He said, I don't know. He said, me and you and Mama were riding somewhere, and you had said it would be interesting if kudzu was the answer to cancer. I mean, we're looking at every medicine and all the radiation and all this stuff. And what if it was kudzu right there under our nose and all? But he heard it as his daddy saying, kudzu is the answer to cancer. And he's believed that for about 25 years. And my little granddaughter, little Michaela, she visited last week. Precious little thing, and I know that you think you have the cutest little granddaughter. You don't. I do. And she calls me Pop Pop. That'll make you feel old. And so she bounces in our living room, and her mama said, Michaela, tell Pop Pop what you learned. And generally, she's got a little new song she'll sing from kindergarten or Sunday school, or she's learned a Bible verse and all. And she said, okay, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, that's the law. Boom, 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 and goes through 66 books of the Bible and tells me what section they're supposed to be in. And I'm saying, good girl, that's right. You got that right. Like I knew. I mean, she's sick, man. I said, well, isn't that wonderful that a little child can do that if you'll teach him to do that? See what's wrong with America? The Bible said, raise up a child in the way he should go, and he won't depart from it. That means as he gets older, he won't depart from it. Our problem is we let the television set, now the goofy things they have in the hand, do they sew them in kids' hands or what? Are they glued? I see every kid's got one. How you doing? They don't, and they get all their information from that machine. See? Let me tell you where that's going. Won't be long before the Antichrist pops his head up. We're gone. We don't have to worry about this. But those left behind will get all their information from that. Who you think's going to be in charge of the information? What do you think they're going to learn from that? Billy Graham? Don't think so. Bible lessons? It won't be on that. Think they'll teach your six-year-olds how to name every book in the Bible and tell you what section? This is the poetic section. I'm sitting there saying, kill her. You know, I'm get her out of the room. She's embarrassing me. Bless her little heart. This doesn't know any better than to learn what's right if you'll teach her. How wonderful it would have been if this country had kept doing that. They did it at one time. Nobody ever asked me to go to church on Sunday growing up. They didn't. No, I was in the car before they were. I didn't want that belt on my butt. This isn't request time. It's Sunday morning. Get in the car. It's where you belong. What do you mean you want to play basketball on Sunday afternoon? Is it not Sunday afternoon? Yeah, no, you can't go play basketball. What are you reading? The comics? Who gave you those? Put them down. And my goodness, that was a little strict, wasn't it? Yeah, but I'm not in jail either. I know what's right and what's wrong. I know how to treat people. I know how to be nice to people who are nasty to me. Don't I, Aunt? know how to pick a girlfriend and a wife. Didn't I do good? See, she's a little nearsighted, but she likes me. Okay. See? But you learn what's right, and you find out right's right, wrong, wrong. Old Dr. Bob Jones used to say, right's right, wrong is wrong. Right will never be wrong, and wrong will never be right, and don't you ever forget it. Short sermon, but a true one, isn't it? Isn't that something? I love my little mother. It's Father's Day, but I love my little mother. She was about as tall as you, right? Lied all her life. Said she was 5 feet tall. She was 4'11 and a half. Okay. And bless her little heart, she was going to a homecoming at Tabernacle Baptist Church with Harold Seitler, one of God's great preachers. And they were having homecoming as they did over 4th of July. And I mean, they have homecoming. They don't bring chicken sandwiches. They bring turkeys, whole ones, and 7 or 8 bowls of banana pudding. And I mean, it's a feast and all. But B.R. Lakin was going to be there. And if you don't know who B.R. Lakin is, B.R. Lakin was Jerry Falwell's mentor. He kind of adopted Jerry in the Christian faith. And they loved one another. And B.R. was a famous evangelist, traveled the country by muleback when he started, and ended up in jet planes preaching the same gospel all over. So I said, Mom, would you like to go to Tabernacle this morning? They're having homecoming, and B.R. Lakin's going to be there. And she said, well, yeah, I'd love to see B.R. So we go and we listen, and then it's over and it's time to eat. We're out there, and my mom goes up to B.R. Lakin and says, hey, B.R., how are you doing? And he said, Muriel Greenway, it's so good to see you. You're getting to be about my age, aren't you? Don't say that to my mother. Okay. She said, B.R. Lakin, my age has absolutely nothing to do with you. And he said, well, when I die, Falwell is going to build a monument to me up at the university on the mountain, and it's going to be tall as the Washington Monument. Keep dreaming, B.R. And then they're going to have all the plaques around it of places that I held great revivals. B.R. liked himself. And they're going to have all this thing, and people can see that till the Lord comes. And my little mama looked at him and said, B.R. Lakin, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. He said, why? He said, you're looking for a hole in the ground when you're supposed to be looking for a face in the sky. It got real quiet. And that is the shortest sermon from the shortest woman B.R. Lakin ever met. But when you know, I hear my daddy's voice now. When you know, you know. You know that you know that you know. And that's what Paul is trying to tell the Corinthians. Look, you are natural men. You cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God until you become a godly man. Until he takes up residence in your body, takes over your mind, and spiritually explains spiritual things to you, you're not going to understand anything spiritual. You'll not understand conversion. You'll not understand resurrection. You'll not understand the atonement. You'll not understand the Holy Spirit and His presence within you. You'll not understand the church. You'll not understand why preachers preach. You'll not understand that Bible you hold and don't read. You're a natural man, and that's not, don't get it. That's what Paul's message to the Corinthians was. And they're listening to this, and they aren't too happy. Somebody mentioned Bill Monroe a while ago. Bill Monroe's a wonderful gospel preacher out of Florence. Started a small church up there in the old little theater building. It would rain, it'd rain right on his head. And they finally moved, and it grew, and now he's got the largest church up there at plus as a high school, grade school through high school. I mean, he's absolutely wonderful. I was watching him preach yesterday, as somebody else says they were on TV, and he said, I've been over, said once a month, I go over and talk to the kiddies at our school. And they get them in the assembly, you know, like you used to go. And he said, I go over and speak to the kids. And they like me better than you do. And there's thousands of people out there, and they're looking, wait a minute, you know. He said, I go over there and tell them something good about Jesus. And six or seven will say, amen, preacher. They don't mind speaking up when they hear the good news. They don't mind being happy when you preach the gospel to them. They don't mind being happy when they find out they can live forever. They like me better than you do. And maybe some of you would like to go over with me next month and learn how to do this. And we've done that too, haven't we? Every now and then we'll get somebody out and hear it, gets all excited and says, amen. Don't lose your breath. It's all right. You don't have to roll in the aisles if you want to, and that's how you praise the Lord. Roll on. But when we're preaching the gospel that saved you, that got you out of hell, did away with your sin, and preserved you in eternal life in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ forever, I would assume that's something to be happy about. I see nothing to be sad about. We get too many churches. Yesterday at that funeral, Ms. Trexel, you won't believe how many came up to me at the door and said, you might be surprised to see us down there. And what they're saying, our church isn't happy. Our preacher, he came in second in the lemon-sucking contest. Don't be too loose about things. Don't be too happy. Live forever? Yeah, we'll just sit there quietly. Your sins have been washed away. It's not going to count against you? No. Well, we appreciate that, but try to hold it down. I don't think so. Now, being loud and jumping up and down, that's not what we're trying to encourage. We're just saying, as some of them told me on the way out yesterday, said, man, I was about to shout. I said, yes, ma'am, when I come to preach, I come to preach. I mean, you invite an evangelist to preach, expect an evangelist to preach. If you invite a juggler, expect him to juggle. Right? Or don't invite me, because you don't want me there. And guess what? I don't want to be there either. All I need, other than the evening news, is somebody else trying to make me sad. Is there not enough sadness in the world as it is? Gloominess? There is no happy news station. Have you noticed that? There's no such thing as a happy news reporter that says, all right, today, now here's some good news. You don't hear that. You don't hear any good news at all. You hear bad news. Who's got the worst news? And anybody who would buy a National Enquirer on the way out of the grocery store is looking for trouble. I mean, for heaven's sake, I'm looking to turn the page and say, one more thing. I've taken care of all that. Forget about it. Sign the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So he's talking to natural men and he's saying, get over it. Don't be a natural man. When you hear something spiritual and it touches your spirit, let people know at least you're alive. But he that judges all things, that's the spiritual man, he himself is not judged. And what that word judge there means is he discerns all things. Spiritual man is going to be discerning in what he hears, which of course we'll listen to anything. And we have a neighbor. I don't have to worry about him listening. He's not about to. And he's got a motor scooter. He has to park in front of our condo out there in the street, and just has to put a boom box, we used to call it, on the motor scooter, cranked up loud with metal music or metallic music or damnable music, whatever you call it. And a hand trying to take a nap. It didn't need music. And I've asked him, why do you listen to that? You in the house. Why do you think I want to listen to it? By the way, why do you think anybody would want to listen to it? Because he's a natural man. That appeals to the brute beast. That appeals. We don't have drums here. Some churches have drums and drums aren't to be played in church. I don't care what TBN says. Drums come from the savages in the jungle beating logs with other pieces of stick while they're cooking somebody to eat. Okay? That's where that comes from. Drums come from Marduk. That's the Egyptian god who is, you've seen him, has that wolf head and arms out. Like you've seen the picture in your history book. And they're about 20 feet tall. And at the bottom is an opening. And they don't tell you much about that. I'll tell you about him. The bottom was where you put the wood and the coal and whatever burned to get that image red hot, made of brass. And they'd get it so hot, the arms would turn white. That's hot. And you say, what was the purpose of that? Oh, they're not through. Then they put the babies on the arms. You godless pagan, hell ain't hot enough for you. And so they beat the drums to drown out the screaming of the little babies being persecuted like that. No. Don't need that in church. Not a bit. Not where I'm preaching. Not a bit. See? And by the way, those of you who like that, drums aren't even a musical instrument. They are a percussion instrument. A musical instrument can play a scale. A drum cannot. Your two-year-old is getting the most out of a drum that'll ever be gotten out of it. Because all it is something to beat. Okay? And every time I hear one, in the back of my mind, I see the little babies. They beat the drums when they can do what? When they go to war. Always a line of drummers. Boom, 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 boom. Here come the Romans. Boom, 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 boom. Here come the Germans. Boom, 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 boom. Here come the Muslims when they can figure out how to pick up a stick and hit a broom. They're a little stupid. I say it. You see. Natural man can't get it, but our country now is run by natural men. Don't hear anything about spiritual things. Some congressman, I don't know who it was, I wish I knew, or senator, a younger looking fellow, looked to be 35 or 40. Had a prayer meeting on the lawn of the Capitol the other day, and several of the congressmen were there and had their heads bowed and all that, and that was good and all. And he started to pray, and I'm going to say, I just want to see how you finish, brother. And he prayed a nice prayer about the good folks in Charleston that had been slaughtered. Very nice prayer. And then he said what I was waiting to hear, in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. That's what's wrong with our country. I have a little book at my house. It's one of my most valuable things. It's a book presented to my father when he opened Congress with prayer. They used to get preachers from around the country to do that. Now, if he were there, he'd start a war, because you let some of those atheists get up, he doesn't ignore them. He say, "Hey, where are you going and why?" I mean, you don't get up and walk out when he's getting ready to preach the gospel, see? And that's what's wrong with our country. We have people that don't know God, don't know how to reach God, don't understand why we foolish Christians would pray into the air, they call it. Well, isn't that foolish, just babbling into the air? No, sir, it's not foolish. We're having a conversation with our Father who created the air. Of course, you can't understand prayer, nor the answers to it. But we're going to keep praying. We've seen too many things answered, have we not? So the natural man's out of it. But we are going to discern all things. We look at it carefully and say, do I really want to be part of that? Do I really want to back that? Is that man really truthful? What do I know about his spiritual life? And he talks to the Corinthians, who were wicked people. Talks about the carnal man. That's the worldly man. He's not spiritually mature. He's a guy that just got saved. And we're glad he just got saved. And he's saved as you are, as Billy Graham is, or the Apostle Paul is. But he doesn't know anything yet. And this man needs to know something. He needs to be able to discern the Spirit, but he's a Christian, and he'll say he's a Christian, but you can't tell any difference between him and the group of people he runs with who aren't Christians. You can't tell which is which, unless they wear a badge or a button or tell you. How sad that it is that as Christians, I see that, honey, don't hold up again. How bad is Christians that we can't do what the Scripture says, and that says, come out from them. Be ye separate. What are you doing there? What is it you want there? You don't need anything there. Stay out of there. Well, those uppity Christians, no, we're going uppity after a while. Just leave us alone. So Paul said, look, because of your carnality, because of your natural man's attitude, I have to feed you with milk like a baby. I can't feed you with meat. I can't explain to this audience what the hypostatic union is. I can't explain the deeper things of theology. I can't go into that and talk to people. That's seminary language, and you only talk to that to people who have gone further and understood. Shouldn't be that way. Every church ought to be a seminary. And it ought to teach all the gospel to all the people, starting with the little ones. Then we'd have something. Why? Raise up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. It's so simple, it's sorrowful, isn't it? Look at the shape we're in. Greatest country there's ever been, richest country there's ever been. More scientists alive today at one time than have ever been at one time on Earth. We got machines on the moon, some going to Mars. I don't know what for when you still got hungry people sleeping in the street. Why are you going to Mars? Why aren't you feeding those people? Why aren't you teaching them how to better themselves? Oh, well, that would bring religion. I know. I understand. So the natural man will understand we're going to hell in a handbasket, because that's what we teach our children. And don't think it unusual for what that man did in Charleston. Look at his background. find out what he studied. Dropped out of school in the 10th grade, which means he's barely got a 9th grade education in the South Carolina Education Department, which is not a qualification to go to Harvard. Okay. And here he is, barely able to walk, talk, and chew gum at the same time. And his fool father gives him a 45 for his 21st birthday. I mean, how do you even get in a position where you think like that? Well, it's too easy to get a gun. His daddy had access to a gun. He was 50-something. You know, he can have a gun if he only wants. And no one problem. It's not the gun. It's not the flag. It's not the school. It's not the color. It's not the nature of the man. It is because the name of this church contains all the truth that can settle it all. You are either lost or found. And if you're lost, you're going to act that way. And if you found, you're going to act another way. And that great divide is where we are now. Unfortunately, in America, the divide now is tilted toward the lost. And we're going to see persecution. And we're going to be laughed at more and more. But what old man in the 17th century said, he who laughs last, laughs best. That'll be me. That'll be you. I hope I pass a rocket to Venus when the rapture happens and I can just wave at them. Have at it, boys. Go ahead. Yes, you're intelligent. Yes, you're scientific. Yes, you've made a rocket ship that'll go in outer space. Yes, yes, yes. No, I don't understand it. But if you noticed, I'm out of here and you aren't. How sad. So who was the smartest? The Lord. God said, I'll take care of my own. Don't worry about it. Don't put death in your calendar. You don't get to die, Christian. Hate to take that away from you, but you don't get to die. Once I give you life, you have it for eternity, forever. Look up a thesaurus. I love a thesaurus. Do you know what a thesaurus is? It looks like a dictionary, and it'll have a word, and like forever, and you look up forever, and it'll go down similar words that mean forever. Forever, eternal, non-ending, without time. Here they go all the way down. See? And it's good to find that out when you come to eternal life. And you look up the word eternal and it runs out of ink, man. Forever, non-ending, can't end, no death, goes on and on and on. And that means eternal. And that's what he gave you if you know him. And that's what he gave me. And how good it is that we have, most people here have accepted Christ, I'm sure. And if you have not, don't let the day go by and stay a natural man. Don't let the day go by and not understand spiritual things. Let the day open up the book to you and open your mind and open your eyes and let you see once for all the glory of God. How in the world can you see that ocean and not believe it's a God? Give you the simplest argument for any atheist you run into. Little question to ask him. And then you can watch him turn into Porky Pig. Beep, 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 beep. You remember Porky, don't you? Okay. And the question is, why is there something instead of nothing? If there's no God, where did something come from? If there's no God, there would be no thing. Now you tell me why there's something and how did it get here? And he will pig you, sure enough, because he can't answer that question. Anything that needed a cause needed a causer. And the atheist will say, well, who caused God? God wasn't caused. God is eternal and always has been and always will be. They say, well, I don't understand that. That's not surprising to me. Algebra 2 like to kill you. Right? So quit trying to figure out God. Quit trying to do His job. You're having plenty enough with yours, aren't you? Let's just revel in the fact that He who made that made me. He who made me made life. He who made life gave it to me that I could live forever in His presence. What a God! What a Savior. If you don't know Him today, as we sing and pray, bow your head where you are and just say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. No use to get out the list. It's too long to fit in this building anyway. But today I repent. I'll turn, metanoia. I turn. I want to turn and walk in a new direction. I want to be saved. I want my sins forgiven. I want to claim You as my Savior, my Lord, and my God. I don't understand it, but You do. Please just apply it to me. All You got to do. And He'll take care of the rest, no matter what the rest is or how long it lasts. Shall we pray? Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, how good it is to know You. Not just to know about You, not to read about You, but to know You. To know we have a Creator who cares. To know we have a Savior who said, I'll die for them. I'll die in His place. I'll shed my blood to cover His sins. Don't ask me why. The reason why is because I love Him. And because I love her. And one day they'll love me. Please, Lord Jesus, if there be one within the sound of my voice, whether they be here or on the webcam or wherever they be, that today is the day they'll make the decision of eternity to trust You for salvation. In Christ Jesus' name I pray, and for His holy sake, amen. How could I boast
sinner.